Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and
well, good evening, everybody. This is Liquid Damage at the Liquid Damage Lounge, welcoming you to A Team of Voices Radio, sponsored by A.P. Taylor. Thanks, A.P. Our group is filled with love and respect. We are also happy to see you here. We are poets from all over the globe with listeners from over 60 countries. The hosting team offers a variety of programs for your entertainment. There is something different going on every night of the week. You never know what we have up our sleeves. So come on by and see what we're doing. Jokes, magic tricks, talk shows, whatever we might be doing that night. We'd love to have you. So I want to introduce you to my friend Carmine, who's here with me tonight so far. Hi, Carmine.
How you doing, my dear? So wonderful being with you and the friends tonight.
I'm doing just fine, Carmine. I'm glad you could make it.
Well, so am I. I'll tell you right now, you know, I look forward to this very, very much. And to me, it's inspiring. It's just a wonderful time to just forget about, you know, all the troubles that the world has to offer and sometimes have your own tribulations and just, you know, just talk and get some good, wonderful insight and spiritual thinking, and that's what makes life, you know. It gives it impetus. It gives you something to really think about.
It is. Right. Let me interrupt you for a moment and introduce Deb and Hatter to the show. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello, you two. Hey, Hatter.
Hi.
It's nice you could
be
here. Hi, Hatter.
Hi, Linda. What's up?
What's going
Hello,
on?
Karma.
Did you hear, did you get the update on our last show, your last show?
Yeah.
I didn't. The good news is that when you push play, the episode actually plays. But I do not have an answer about the last one, so we're just holding on to it, and we will see what happens. Then Linda will decide what to do about it.
So we're gonna do last week's poems and the new ones from this week, correct?
I grabbed the recordings from last week, but the other all the other ones that needed readers are sitting there in case the episode is done. I guess the major answer is no, just a couple because they were recordings I moved over. And then the worst happens is those four poems get read or get heard twice if they release the other show. So everything on your board except those recordings at the top is all new stuff.
Okay. All righty. Well, how about a joke, Carmine, to start us off?
Yes, I do have a joke. Tell me, what did the right eye say to the left eye? What did the right eye say to the left eye?
I'll let somebody else take this one. I know, but I'll let somebody else try.
You and me, something smells around here.
Very funny, Carmine. Very funny. Okay. I guess we're going to start out with a recording. And we have four from last week. I guess we'll start with that. One from Frank. And there it is. Carmine, do you have Frank's poem? It is, let me find it in my book.
Which one
Jack
is that?
In the box.
Is it How Much of Thomas Chatterton?
No, Jack in the Box.
Oh, Jack in the Box. Okay, I got it.
You got it?
Yes, okay,
Everybody got it?
I have it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, here we go.
Appears from the dark shadows of the nocturnal dripping dewdrops of blood. The creaking noise of the handle of a box chimes the turning of a crank, and the horripilating image of a devilish clown pops forward, laughing. With his alabaster eyes and crimson tongue beneath his sharp rays of teeth, the inevitable face of the monster the hopeless children dread to see in person. For it is sad that once he visits you, there is no absolute return from death. He is the ghastly reaper of all of the screaming souls of doomed children. He is the Jack in the Box. Can you hear the music?
Wow. Frank, my show just wouldn't be the same without your creepy exhibitions of horror. I just love the eerie suspense of the one you have chosen, the perfect sound effects for this, and your performance was spectacular once again. And I got to tell you, to this day, when I hear that tune, I jump at that one note that says, pop, goes the weasel. And I still, to this day, jump. My favorite part is absolutely the whole thing. You did well, my friend. And remember, you are the Sergeant of Scary, the Deputy of Doom and Despair, and the Master of Macabre. Thanks for participating in my show again, Frank. You are the absolute bomb. Thanks a lot. Let me give you some comments. Hatter.
Yeah, I remember this. We read this last week, right? The show
yeah.
that probably didn't get recorded. Yeah, yeah. Simplified the demonic. What's the word behind a Jack in the Box? Wonder if there's more meaning to that, like a haunted one.
Yeah.
And how far does it go back? Jack in the Box. Good.
Absolutely.
Make a scare, startle a kid. I guess it's good for an infant to be startled now and then for the senses, right? I mean.
Right. Carmine.
Well, that poetic Picasso, he's some horrific writer there. You know, this work over here, Jack in a Box, is dark, it's deep, it's mysterious. I think it's very very expressive, and it's expressed, as you can see here, with imagery. It really make any child just scream. It's eerie with those creaking doors, dealing with, a death. No return. Although the rhyme and everything is flowing, it's very very poetically expressed, especially the laugh at the end, and also the poignant timing of the laugh. So his timing and his poetic way of expressing it had really an effect on what he had to say. So, yes, Mr. Poetic Picasso, you are a wonderful writer in behalf of the dark, the deep, and the mysterious.
Right on. Great comments. Deb.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you that Wayne's here.
Hi, Wayne.
And I also...
How's it going, guys? Sorry, about 10 minutes late.
Hi,
I had to finish up dinner. So, how y'all doing? Nice to hear y'all's voices again.
Good,
I know, right?
Good. Glad
like
to see you here.
I'm glad to be here. So carry on. I'm glad to be here, and I'm tickled to death.
It feels like it's been forever, Linda, right?
Yeah, it's about a year.
Yeah.
Yes. But, like, yet...
Yeah, he's a busy guy.
The theatrical way of reading that captures your attention, and I think that putting that music box in the background really added to the creepiness of it, and it was just like one of those things. This is his genre. He's really good at it, and between that breathy read he does, and then that maniacal laugh, it's just like the total audio show, and definitely his strong suit.
Yeah, definitely. So, my show would absolutely not be the same without Frank's creepiness to it, because it does give my show that different air when it comes to his poem. It's like get ready for some scare, you know. And right now I'm trying to get this other poem up here, but it's not coming up. There we go. Okay. I'm going to try this anyway. Lynn Gauthier is up next. Carmine, you got it. It's called Sounds of Eternity.
Yes, my dear.
Okay. And here we go. Everybody got it?
No, I don't see it. Let me go grab it and put it on the chat wall.
Oh.
You don't see it either.
Oh, I thought it was up there. Oh, well.
Yeah, I don't see it either.
My bad.
There we go.
Okay. Now you got it, everybody?
Yes.
Got it. Yep.
Okay. Here we go. Uh-oh, how come it's not going?
Sounds of Eternity. Sunshine glitters across the water in a tireless, playful motion, and the dreamy, hypnotic music of eternity ripples on through my nights. I close my eyes, transported to a dock of my youth, where soothing waves greet me, enticing me, inviting me, rocking me, and I abandon myself to the lullaby that could just as easily be the arms of a lover.
Wow. This is such a pure brevity. It's so short, but it brings such like hypnotic, tinkling, glycerin, things to your mind. You know, it's enchanting. This is an enchanting piece, soft and tranquil with such feelings of nice memories to be shared. You have used Mother Nature as a backdrop to this poem, giving it the feelings of life with magical sounds to be heard. Wonderful scenes of sunshine glittering across the water give this a bright touch. The brevity of this is magical, as well as so much is said in so few words. My favorite part, I close my eyes, transported to a dock of my youth where soothing waves greet me, enticing me, inviting me, rocking me, and I abandoned myself to lullabies that could just as easily be the arms of a lover. Just an amazing feel to this verse. I want to thank Lion for sharing this again with us. A beautiful piece of brevity, one of the best that I've read, and I'd like to pass that on to Wayne. What did you
think? I said that this is a very nice poem, very nice daydream poem. It's very relaxing with soothing waves that grasp you all over, leaving you in a hypnotic state of relaxation. Very good job. Enjoyed the poem a whole lot. It puts you in a good mood. Great job.
Right on. Carmine.
Well, this is a very reflective poem of the tranquility that he felt when he was young. It's very flowing. It's very peaceful. He has a very impressive use of word painting in respect to the scenery and the dark. It's sometimes hypnotic. It's dreamy. And it's like the music of eternity for him, because he's always going back there to find the peace that sometimes he can't find out in the world. So that means it's meditative. He thinks about it, and he meditates about that peace and tranquility. As far as the title is concerned, I love the title. It's a great title, because the sounds of eternity deal with not only the quietness, which is music in itself, but also all the sounds of the evening, and especially near the water, you find many, many sounds, crickets, frogs, what have you. So he did an excellent job in his brevity, and he should be highly commended.
Right, right, very good. Heather.
Yeah, brevity's a... It's not an easy thing to do. You can tell when a person's been writing for a while to get it all in such few words. And this is a good example of that. It was nicely done.
Great. Great comment. Deb.
Yeah, well, for starters, I have to agree with you, Linda. The part about I close my eyes, transported to a dock of my youth where soothing waves greet me. That's my favorite part, too, because, that's my first thought, is back to my youth, summer times at the beach and at the lake by my grandma's. So that part was like a journey. But I really also loved her opening line, sunshine glitters across the water. The image of that in my mind really set the tone for the rest of the poem. I felt like she transported me back in time. It was an excellent brevity. And I already put Phil the Poet's link on the board
okay.
for you as well. And when you get a chance, look in your inbox.
Okay, Phil the Poet. Do you got that, Carmine? It's called Cold Grasp by Phil the Poet.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Let me get that to the... Phil, here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Cold Grasp. I'm the chain that has you bounded hand and foot. My coldness eats away at your skin to make it rot. I jangle every time you try to search for a way out. My metallic sound echoes above your shouts. I limit your movements to stuttering, clumsy steps. I chastise you by tearing certain muscles, such as your biceps. I'm hard and cold, ready to make you cry and bleed. I'm the iron bracelet that you will never succeed. Once I have a cold grip on you, there's no escape. If you're a criminal, then this, my friend, is your only fate. Come. Sit with me, and I will sing with a scraping voice. I will keep you awake in the dark, for you have no choice. I'm a cold grasp of hopelessness upon your soul. I will make you more timid than a newborn foal. I get inside your conscience, for my voice is a tolling bell. You'll wake up with the shakes in a dark condemned cell. When you're gone, I will be waiting with arms open wide, longing for you to be with me once again by my side. Then we will be together, and I will sing the jangling tune, which prophetic words speak of your coming doom. End poem.
Wow. You know, first of all, just wow, Bill. What an amazing award-winning poem this is. I just love how well you personified the chain in this piece of doom and despair. Your writing skills are crazy good here, with some of the best scary imagery I've read. My favorite part is, let me see, where am I? Is verse 4, if I can get back to it. Come on, my computer is doing wacky things. Okay, here we go. I found it. I'm a cold grasp of hopelessness upon your soul. I will make you more timid than a newborn foal. I get inside your conscience, for my voice is a tolling bell. You wake up with the sharks in it shakes in a dark condemned cell. That is just so eerie. It gives me the chills thinking about it. This is such strong words and fantastic metaphors. It makes this completely amazing verse. I want to thank you, Phil, for sharing with us tonight. Your poetry is just crazy, crazy good. And I'm glad we got a chance to hear this one. I hear it's won a bunch of awards, and congratulations on that. Let me get you some more comments. Wayne.
Yes. I said, Phil, please don't come after me. This is an amazing poem of absolute terror. You had me crawling under my desk after I turned all the lights on. It has perfect flow, well-balanced, and it was non-stop attack. Great job with the poem. I loved it a whole lot. It's the scariest one I heard in a long time. Loved it.
Good one. Hatter.
Yeah, I remember this one. This one stood out last week too. You have to invite despair to sit next to you. You know, easy thing. He describes it very well. I can see why it won so many awards. Very good, Phil.
Right. Carmine.
Well, I want to tell you that he did an excellent job. He did an excellent job on that. I'm very impressed with Phil, the poet. I follow him and I read many of his works, but this one over here is very outstanding. He's portraying the Iron Bracelet as an excellent personification. He has an inanimate object of the Iron Bracelet, dark and dreary. It's brought to a dark, controlling life. It's very, very powerfully expressed, and it's like the imprisonment of one with another. It seems like there's a grasp of hopelessness for the man who has the Iron Bracelet on, or will, in that dark cell. And when he talks about the latter aspect of it, it's very eerie and, to the point where it's bent on horror. So he did an excellent job of that, and the rhyme and everything flowed very nicely. But again, I get back to the title, because there's a hook there when he talks about a cold grasp. What is that cold grasp? Well, it's one on life that sometimes doesn't let you go until you die.
Wow. Good comment, Carmine. Deb.
Yeah, I have to say, I agree with all of you. He really stepped into the darkness here. It's so easy to see why it's a multi-award winner, and a couple of those are gold. There's so many really good creepy parts, but for some reason, I really like, once I have a cold grip on you, there's no escape. If you are a criminal, then this, my friend, is your only fate. Come sit with me, and I will sing with a scraping voice. I will keep you awake in the dark, for you have no choice. It's like there's this thing in the dark. You can't sleep. It's not going to let you. You're a criminal. You deserve this. And like, he's getting joy out of serving it up. Between the details and all the little nuances that add to the creepiness, I think that this is a really brilliant poem, and a great title too, Cold Grasp. I think he outdid himself with his darkness in this one.
Yeah, I agree totally. And with that, now Titus has got two up there. He sent in a new one. Which SoundCloud do we have?
Link I put on the board is for the one that says first poem. That's the one that's left over from your other show. And then the one that you'll see that says second poem, you'll find later on your board. That's the one he just added for this show.
Oh, okay. So we want to do both of them?
Well, I was hoping you could do his and finish up the last one from the other show, and then let me read because I have to go.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So right now, homage to Thomas Chatterton's on there.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. Okay. Carmine, you got that? Titus?
Homage to Thomas Chatterton?
That's the one. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
My living memory as a keepsake. Now, let me see. Let not my last desperation seek erst while the only words of guidance offered, mine are merely instinctive, should a meantime disclosure, gentle foresight, to beguile such words to serve the practice even worse, a whispered drawl of emotion being stirred to wrap around this dour wager, a curse, persuasion, heartfelt solitudes are hurt, reverberating screams, bestowal or senses still, preserves a long drawn out, far-reaching, touching moments these, I'll wait until the altitudes, a conscience now besieging galaxies, a waste of time it has been given, it strikes light, kindness, behind a demise now taking place of what is asked, driven by what evil notion it was to recognize, for there is duly no rest for the wicked. Ascendancy, it deepens as indigo it does, leave a shadow with a tongue so insipid it might have good reason to metabolize the song of the spirit, to escape no wrong, speak not to the dead, given the torment wraps itself beyond the moon's darker side, pervading light it was to be well meant. The songs of gold stars now classified, a sixth sense, a proprioception archaic, perceived in a state of misadventure, beyond what keeps us alert, it will deprive whose ownership it was to be in a tour. An almanac does further word the wise, close its book on another force majeure. O death, still duly keeping the disguise.
Amazing. Titus has done it again with his skill and his love of poetry. What a fascinating and intelligent man he was to accomplish what he did at such a young age and then carrying it over to a young man. How you did him an incredible homage to be honored the way you did. I loved your poem, Titus, so full of respect for a poet is incredible. My favorite part is such reverence the past, whilst much it draws from the highest realm, blessed on the shelves of libraries, there the spirit, which once yours, such sweet reminders, these that were loved what delves. He has such a way of forming his sentences that are so romantic and I think spiritual in a way. This is a brilliant poem about a brilliant man who, you know, gave his life at a very young age of 18. I don't know why. I haven't found that out yet, but I was reading up on him, and what an amazing poet he was. Anyway, I think I will hand this over to Deb.
Yeah, you know, I remember listening to this one, and there was something in the tone in his voice that added a sense of like mystery. And then by the time he got to the end, close its books on another force majeure. Oh, death, still duly keeping the disguise. And I love the fact that he ended that with a question because it adds to that suspense. It leaves you wondering, duly keeping the disguise. You have questions like, why? Why disguised? And I also like, above it, he has Methuselah is Anthony Smith, and Thoth and Darth Sidious is Titus Llewellyn. And something about that, you know, like he is both of those characters. So is this somewhat autobiographical? And then you take the fact that he incorporated nods to the quotes in his author's notes by Purple Chaos, and it's just like my mind's blown. But then, you know, listening to him and the way he pronounces stuff and everything, it sort of does that as it is, you know. So just another awesome gift courtesy of Titus.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome poem. Hatter.
Unmuted. Yeah, Titus classes the place up. Yeah, I learn something every day. I guess it, when did they say? 1752, 1770. Wow.
Yeah.
22 years old. 11-year-old boy. I love this story. Well, that must have been huge back then. I'm wondering if he had to portray himself as an adult.
Well, I think that's what he was saying was he went under what do they call that, a pen name. To pretend to be a different person than he was.
And
I don't know if that got to him after a while and he killed himself or what happened, but he ended his life at 18. And that's sad for somebody with so much talent and to go and end their lives like that. It makes you think what could they have accomplished if they'd not killed themselves, if they lived? What could they have accomplished in their lives? It's astounding, you know?
I need to go see, read his poetry. I wonder if it was dark and gloomy or if it was really romantic or just...
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. I think I will.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. He's got me interested. Carmine, what did you think, sweetheart?
Well, to be honest with you, it really is a homage to a young genius. It's a tribute to him. Well, he did take his life at a very early age because he couldn't accomplish what he really wanted to, and so in doing so, he gave in to death. The rhyme is excellent. It's very poignant. What he had accomplished even in his young years had a definite effect on even the masters of that time, such as John Keats. And so the last two lines of that poem, Homage to Thomas Chatterton, I found it was very, very heartwarming because it said, not fear doth overwhelming wisdom bring. That was the wisdom, even the genius that he had as a young age. But he said, young sage, which he's talking about, Thomas. And he said, again, he thrives still in passing, lives with his poetic words. Well, actually, he may have taken his life at an early age, but his words live on. And in doing so, he just never died because he's still living in his words. And so that not only the homage, but what he wrote and how he had written it was very classical. So almost died as... My commendation always goes to you with the highest esteem. Thank you for allowing us to hear that and read it.
Good comment, Carmine. Let's see, who else do we got? What did Wayne left, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. What did you think, yeah. Wayne?
Oh, man, this is the second time I heard this. It's a wonderful poem, and it's such a great mood to the poem. Yeah, it's already put on some kind of timer or whatever, so often it just comes on and you get to hear it every so often. It's a wonderful poem. I love the way it starts. It goes, let not my last desperation seek erstwhile the only words of guidance offered. It's a great way to start the poem out. A poem that has wants his last thoughts and words to be to do justice to the moment and not let the words belittle the death to come. Just one of the words that have meaning and carry that truth and honor. Oh, death, still duty to keep the skies. Great way to end the poem. Tony did a great job of this. I love it. One of my favorites. Good job. I'm not going to hang up this time.
Cool. Okay, I got to send a little message to Titus. Evidently, we played the wrong SoundCloud.
We played the SoundCloud that's attached to that poem,
yep.
And we do have the other one he mentioned in here as well.
Maybe they got mixed up.
The last time they played this on the air, they played the wrong SoundCloud. That's all right. The last time they played the wrong SoundCloud.
Huh. Well, let's see. We got Deb's up next. Carmine, do you got Deb's? It's called The Killer I See.
Well, let's see. Which one was that?
The Killer I See by Deborah Lee.
I added mine on late. Maybe he didn't get it on the list.
No, I just put it on the board.
I know I have yours. I have yours. But what was that again that Beverly has?
The killer eyes see.
Okay, the killer eyes see. Okay. Okay.
Got it?
I have it.
Okay, great. All right, Deb.
Okie dokie. The killer eyes see. Here we go. Night kicks off the ebony darkness. Tonight, no opal moon hangs high. No stars glitter platinum neon hues. As shadows trick two gazing eyes, breezes rattle the window's glass, wood floorboards and walls creak. Then just as the shadows animate from the motion, the voices speak. My brain fills up with those voices. The voices whisper tales of death. Death to me, then death to you too. And they speak in swamp breath. Those voices trigger a mania in me. It's clear now. The voices are mine. In the whispers and in the screams too, now fits of rage travel up my spine. Clock chimes yank me to the now, but my fingertips drip wet red blood. 3 hours passed by, but what do? Knees hit the floor, I spy you dead. Liquid crimson outlines your carcass, spattered dots my denim jeans and face. You write my name in blood, then die, leaving a red stain that I cannot erase. And poem.
Wow, Deb. That is so creepy. It's just filled with scary little things in here. And breezes rattle the window's glass. Wood floorboards and walls creak, and just as the shadows animate from the motions the voices speak, that is such a like cool verse. I just loved how you wrote this. It's very in depth. You're describing a scene of horror that you took part in. And your description of it is, like, well said. I think you did a really great job on this. And the imagery, I can't tell you, the imagery in this is so scary that it gives me creeps. It really does. And this end one, liquid crimson outlines your carcass, spatter dots my denim jeans and face. You write my name in blood, then die, leaving a red stain that I cannot erase. That is just, like, too creepy for words. So I give you an A-plus on this scariness. I think you should get an award for this. It's just so creepy and well-written. You got me on this one. Let me get you some more comments. Carmine, you're very
well,
welcome.
Well, you've got
Deb.
A paranoia here, and I've got news for you that, like you said, if you're not creeped or creepy when you read it, then you're not reading it. I love all expressions that Beverly have written here. You know, especially she said, my brain filled up with those voices. The voices whisper tales of death, you know, and she's expressing the horror of sometimes of life. And then she's talking about how the clock chimes and he yanks me where to the fingertips, drip with wet blood red. And so she's got a lot of imagery here. She's got a lot of color in this horror poem. But she does an excellent job, and it definitely is an excellent job. And then, of course, the expressions are, they flow. And then the picture that you have here about that hand coming out, you know, from the grave is like ready to snatch you. About time to run away. But when it comes to, the spooky, I say, excelente.
Right on.
Thank you very much,
yeah,
Carmine.
Yeah, you did a good job. Sorry about that, Deb. Didn't mean to interrupt. Hatter.
Yeah, Deb, these storms that rolled over the top of you these last few days and the power went out, what did you do? Write poetry?
No. No
sitting
power,
in the dark.
No poetry.
Oh, okay. Halloween's early this year.
No, it was a horror movie, and the prompts were like, just for an example, Hatter, it says she was in danger. I just didn't realize the danger was me. That's one of the prompts from a movie, and it just, between the bloody hand and the prompts, it was like, I had fun with this one.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, every time I see
and
a
Wayne,
severed hand,
yeah.
When I was young, my left hand was sewn and sewn back on.
What did you think, Wayne?
Well, the voice I hear tonight is some of the greatest poets around. You got Frank Philotitis, and here comes Lion and Deb. You can't get a better lineup anywhere in the world better than that. It's a great, great lineup of people tonight. This poem is the darkest I've ever heard from Deb. She did a dark well. I might take her on my next killing spree. This poem is awesome, and should not be listened to in the dark. It's just too intense. Great job, Deb. I loved it.
Fantastic comment, Wayne.
I
love you back. Killing spree, huh? I don't know if my conscience could handle that, but anyway, awesome comment.
You can do it.
Right on.
But Liquid Damage, I have to go. I took the other list off, so you should have 6 poems unless Hatter goes and finds one for you so that you're all set. And as usual, you're doing brilliantly, and I am out of here. Love and respect, everyone.
All right, Deb. Have a lovely night.
Hey, Deb.
I think I put Carmine next. Let's see what we got on the board. Yes, we got Carmine up next.
Okay. Is that man from Calabria, my dear?
That's the man from Calabria.
Okay. This is a testimony to my family. Does everyone have it? I guess.
I got it. Everyone else?
Limited land, soil poor, yielding little to sustain the need, malnutrition, corruption, greed, violence, disease widespread, increasing the dead, chained to inflation, drenched in poverty, the man from Calabria, South Italy, left his family, a wife, son, and daughter. You can't dwell by a well without any water. Sad to go, but wise to bestow his love for them. Others too made the move, 30 by chance. boarded the La Touraine and sailed from Le Havre, France, 1906. Bound for a land across the sea, a land of opportunity for the poor and destitute. Alone, on his own, with much on his mind, what would he find? What could he offer but his hand, calloused from toil, digging soil like dust clouds? A craftsman, creative, natural, like an eagle in flight, a body, tempered steel, a mind with keen insight, and like the dawn's early light, his new beginning, wearing shoes with holes in their soles, inserted with cardboard. Pictured a man with a heart of courage, persevering hope, and faith in his Lord. Welcomed by a lady, a torch of freedom found him hired by the B&O. A railroad company with an army of men pounding spikes, sledgehammer force on crossbeams laid on stones, rail after rail that follow the course. His home, a boxcar next to the last of the train. Living simply, he didn't complain. A year later, his family arrived. Thank God, all survived. New York, a mixture of many bursting, it seems, a maker or breaker of dreams, demanded a move to a Jersey town, where employment for the DOT, he and his son remained continually. New homes were built for family that proudly grew like a sequoia tree, and each branch a shade of comfort for all, a foundation deep, no wind could fall. His hands, mind, positive in himself and God, with courage and faith he gave his best. His years flourished, wonderfully blessed. Grandpa Dominic, what you had to do, our heritage carved in granite lives because of you. Forever grateful, love, your extended family, the Lombardos.
Wow. Well, hear, hear for Grandpa Lombardo. What a guy. Wow, Carmine, what courage he had to have had to spark out on his own to a place he was unknown, and that he never found, you know, that he even found a job was a miracle. Your grandfather was full of grace and strength to keep going to make a place for his family to come to is remarkable. Thank God for people like your grandfather who built this path for others to cross. My favorite part, change to infatuation drenched in poverty. The man from Calabria, South Italy, left his family, a wife, son, and daughter. You can't dwell by a well without any water. Such strong words, and the thought of leaving his family to come to an unknown world is just alarming, but takes much courage and love. People like this carved out this country, people that came from other countries who mostly didn't speak English, who left their families behind, who had no idea of where they were coming to come and carve out a living for us. And that was amazing to me, to hear of his strength. And it's nice that he finally got to have his family come and be with him. And I'm just wondering how many people don't get to have that, you know, that it's not everybody that came here that left a family behind got to meet up with their family again. So I give my hats off to Grandpa Lombardo. I think it's people like him that made us who we are. Yeah, people like my granddad too. came from Scotland, and
you got
they
that
were
right, my
badly.
Dear.
Yeah, they were treated poorly.
Many souls, many, many heritages that made this country great, and the people who paved the way are the ones we have to be so grateful for. And as far as their heritage, we have to keep it. We cherish it, and we have to make sure that it lives. And it goes,
right.
And it lives not on in us, but also in our children and grandchildren.
And they brought us lovely people like Carmine. Without Grandpa Lombardo,
well,
there would be no Carmine.
I don't know if I'm that lonely. I got news for you.
Yeah, come on, Carmine. You're my buddy. I love it. Tatter, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, before he said that, I was going to guess Carmine's grandfather's name was Dominique. It's really personal.
Oh,
yeah,
right,
the Baltimore, Ohio Railroad. Was it Carnegie or Carnegie, however you say it, that owned built the trusses and the bridges? Everybody had a monopoly on something.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah,
Steel? Carnegie Steel? Or was that Rockefeller? No, I think that was Carnegie.
It could be. Yeah, because the timber was monopolized by somebody else. I think it was right that he went to Steel, the Steel Foundries. That'd be the right part of the country, too.
Right, the industrial era.
Very good, Carmine. The what's fading also is the farmer. What a noble profession that was and is, but they've just nickel and dimed them so much that they can't make any money. It's like pounding their head against the wall. They go deeper and deeper in debt. You know, remember the farm aid thing? Families of generations that lost their farm. You gotta remember, like Carmine said, gotta remember.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. Good comment, Hatter. Wayne.
Yes. Carmine, you hear this with such a great spirit in your voice and proud voice, which has made it perfect. It's a wonderful written formula with enhancement in the lines. I like the lines like sad to go, but wise to bestow for his love for them. And then he had another one that went alone on his own, but much on his mind. It's real good. So you need to do with these lines. That's where these lines come out. One was New York, a mixture of many bursting scenes, a maker or breaker of dreams. You could get all the way through this poem. It's kind of like a music. It's like a musical. And I think you did a wonderful job. I think Granddad would be honored for you writing this. For me, be honored that he wrote this for him. It was a very good job and good tribute. Like it.
Right on. Yeah, you guys are nailing it tonight. And since you went last, your poem's up next, Wayne.
Uh-oh.
It should be on the board.
Yeah, I got SoundCloud.
Carmine
is...
Go ahead.
I say this poem is I work for a contest. It's where it's about Tom Jones. And when I was a little kid, Tom Jones was on TV and... he taught me how to dance. I learned how to dance watching his shows. So I hadn't thought of
right
that
on.
In 20 years.
Yeah,
I
remember. My mom was a Tom Jones fanatic.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Carmine, the poem's called Mr. Jones and Me. Do you got it?
I have it, yes.
Okay.
I
anytime you're ready, Wayne.
I thought it had SoundCloud with it.
Let me check.
Tom Jones.
Uh, Wayne.
Yes. If you didn't get it set up, you can just do mine later. I need a big deal.
Okay. Tell me if it's the right recording.
Is it called Encounter with Satan?
No, that ain't it. The wrong one.
Walking through the forest.
It's the wrong one?
On a dark, dreary night.
One.
Looked up a...
Huh. Oh, let me see something. Oh, Lord, I know I can get this.
At first, hey, Wayne, at first I thought it said instead Mrs. Jones, like Harold Melvin and the Blue Dots. Me and Mrs. Jones.
Here we go. I got it.
Then there's the BG one.
This is my hero here.
This is called Mr. Jones and Me. I haven't heard old Tom in a while. Just thinking about him makes me smile. Remember when we could show hands? It was our sweet, we shared. Tom had a way with the girls. Handsome, cool, witty, great curls. He danced, he could get down. He was doing bod all around. Tom was smart, tells the tales. He was born somewhere around Wales. She's a Lady is my favorite song. In my book, he could do no wrong. He's a sex symbol. He enjoyed the drink. His biggest rival back then was Ichabod Humperdinck. It's not usually unusual for him to have a buzz, but that's what a sex bomb does. Can't believe I haven't missed Tom in 30 years. It's a good time to listen and have a few beers. But I'm not sure if I can take that chance. Could be dangerous when I start to dance. Again?
Okay, Wayne.
That was really
cool.
Yeah.
It was a great retrospective look into the life and times of Tom Jones. You did a fantastic job sharing his love of life, women, and booze with us. And yes, I even remember Engelbert Humperdinck. What a great story of your love for his music. She's a Lady was a great song. Thank you for reminding us that it was. Let me find the part that I liked.
What's new, Pussycat? Whoa.
Yeah. He has a sex symbol who enjoyed a drink. His biggest rival back was Engelbert Humperdinck. It's not unusual for him to have a buzz because that's what a sex bomb does. And that was so true back in that day. That's what the music and that's what the times were all about, you know. And it's funny that you learned to dance by his show. A lot of us kids did. What was the other one? American Bandstand. I mean, who doesn't remember dancing to that show?
I'm a guy.
But, yeah, crazy good poem, my darling.
He danced a certain way. He danced a different way. I did like that. He kind of got down, and he was I learned to dance watching him.
Yeah.
I used to dance.
He had kind of an Elvis-type characteristic to him. Not he had that. He had that special mojo, like Elvis had when he did the bump and grind, you know. But good dancer. I'm Hatter.
Yeah, you can. Tom Jones is still a judge on Britain's Got Talent, he's from Wales, and he performs now and then. With some of the contestants. So you can't see them on the videos of that. But you know, anybody that's had panties thrown at them on stage, I mean, you know, the other few of them, you know, Barry Manilow, Kenny G, probably.
Yep.
But Elvis and Elvis, Tom Jones, and Engelbert probably were the top three.
The forerunners to that, yeah.
The picture I took of him, the picture I got him, it's him dancing. The way he used to dance, he's a picture of him, the picture I put up there.
Yeah, she's
cool.
A lady.
Now
isn't
let's
that, same time The Ghetto came out with Elvis. She's a lady. And
yep.
I think
I heard 20 years. I played that day. After 20 years, I played it. I brought tears. But I had 20 years.
Well, here, let's listen to a man that was there as well, Carmine.
Well, let me tell you something. Dear, I played in the big bands. You know, I played with, I'm being very humble about it, but I played with many famous singers. We backed them up. And with those dance bands, they did some fancy dancing. I was also on the Dick Clark Show and many other TV personalities. And so when it came to dancing, those performers knew how to really make them dance. And I played for a fellow by the name of Jones. I don't know if it was Tom Jones' father or what, but this guy was phenomenal. And I'll tell you, those experiences come back to me many times. And so when I read a poem like this, I could well aware, you know, get into it because I had it into it. And as far as the dancing is concerned, well, I mean, being a drummer, I made sure that the beat was there. And to seeing those people dance, that's a feeling that's very personal. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. You did a great job on that because you know how to move people with your words.
Thank you. I used to dance. When I me and my wife were dancing, it was clear to sometimes just me and her would dance because I do the side to side with Tom Jones moves, and I enjoy that a lot. People used to watch me dance. It's kind of nice.
Cool. Yeah, I remember back in those days. Let me put up. No, not that. Come on. Got a joke, Carmine?
Do I have a joke? Let me say one thing. I'll tell you right now. Let me see now. Oh, do I have a joke? Yes. Mm-hmm. What do you call a fake noodle? What do you call a fake noodle? An imposter.
An imposter. Very cute.
Oh, my God.
Very cute.
You know what? I tell you, Linda, this morning I saw an ad for burial plots, and I thought to myself, golly, that's the last thing I need.
Right on. Yeah, really.
On with the show.
On with the show. Okay, we have a lovely one by Heavenly Angel called The Dream Come True. Let me see. I've got the wrong. Oh, no, there we go. You got it, Carmine?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, my dear.
Okay. And I will read it for her. This is called A Dream Come True, Collaboration with Easy Rider by Heavenly Angel. Even lying next to me, I see you in my dreams each night. I still feel your every touch and tender kiss. You are always on my mind. Loving you is a delight. No one but you could ever bring me to such bliss. Neither one of us were planning for it to be, but our hearts became so entwined. We found a special something in one another, plain to see. Something, sweetheart, we thought we'd never find. I was captured by your sparkling eyes, that pretty smile upon your lovely face. Oh, how could you hypnotize and tantalize? I knew then no one could ever take your place. Your tender kisses made all time stand still. You are my rare pearl, so precious and unique. I love you today, babe, and I always will. You are all the treasure I ever longed to seek. The happiest times, darling, that I ever knew. All of them had started and ended, babe, with you. In poem. And this is just another grand slam sonnet from Heavenly Angel and Easy Rider. They just have a way of writing these sonnets and that they put their heart and soul into. And I just love how these guys come together and write a cohesive piece. Every line fit perfectly with the next. So seamless. My favorite part is verse 3 and 4. I was captured by your sparkling eyes, that pretty smile upon your lovely face. Oh, how could you hypnotize and tantalize? I knew then no one could ever take your place. Your tender kisses made all time stand still. You are my rare pearl, so precious and unique. I love you today, babe, and I always will. You are all the treasure I ever longed to seek. Just beautiful. It's tied together by the last two lines, the happiest times, darling, that I ever knew, all of them had started and ended, babe, with you. The imagery is so loving. What an art form they have mastered. I want to tell them great job, and thank you guys for this wonderful piece and sharing it with us tonight. You guys are just an awesome team, and sometime you'll have to tell us all how you guys do it because you are seamless, absolutely seamless. Hatter.
Yeah, that's the same thing I wrote was you can't tell who wrote what. And I asked the question, did they trade off every two lines, every four lines, every other line?
Right.
You know, because you're right, it is seamless. Or do they take it, put it all together, and then just start editing, moving stuff around? Because there's so many different ways.
Well, that's,
they should be fascinated.
That's why
with the different ways.
That's why I chose 3 and 4 because I didn't want to pick one and then leave the other guy out. So I picked both verses, thinking that one wrote one and the other wrote the other one because they're both entirely beautiful verses. You know.
Well, it says it's a collab, doesn't it?
What's that?
It says it's a collaboration, doesn't it? Isn't this the one? Yeah, collaboration.
I'm sorry. I'm
with Easy Rider.
Oh, yeah.
Collaboration.
It's a collaboration. Yeah,
yeah.
They are, most of her stuff is so lately. The last few that we've read on my show have been collaborations. And they're all just as seamless as the next.
How do you, hey Linda? How do you?
Yeah.
How would you rate yourself 1 to 5 on being collaborating with somebody? Is it frustrating to you? Does somebody have to take the lead?
No.
How do you?
You know, I did a I did a collaboration with Dave, and we did a good job, and it was my first collaboration. I think he'd done a collaboration prior, but we did, it was pretty easy. So we just kind of, like, he wrote what he wanted, and I wrote what I wanted, and then we kind of intermixed the two. So it wasn't like he wrote two verses and I wrote two verses. We just kind of both wrote the verse, you know?
Okay. Because that's interesting. So there's someone that I wanted to collaborate and write with very badly, probably more than anybody else, and we just couldn't. It just wasn't going to happen. I don't know what that means, you know, what it means. I think it's me more than anything else. I'm very picky. Come on, I'm a rhymer, probably.
Right, right. Well, thank God Davis, too. You know, he can be a rhymer as well. So, and that's what we did. We did a rhyme. And you know what? I don't have it, so he must have it. But I think it came out really well.
If you're written as the collaboration with, you should have it too.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know why I can't find it. I might have messaged him the poem. Because I think I finished it off, and I think I just messaged him the poem, and he might have put it in. So I don't know. He's supposed to look for it for me. So, but you and I should do a collab. I think we'd be good at it.
You know, it's funny because Candy Brown and I have gotten together 3 or 4 times, and we've won gold every time.
Together.
It's been a while since I asked her. I don't do much contests anymore.
I don't do many either, but every once in a while I'll jump in there and throw something in. But your talent, Hatter, is like unsurpassed by, I mean, you just... you're in a realm above most writers, most rhymers, because you have a magical, enchanting air to your writing as well, which is something I like. I like writing enchanting things. And
would you say that it's because
I like
how I changed the rhyming patterns? I mean, I try to do that, and like I said before, and I've discussed this with AP Taylor, to go into an ABAB and then go to an inner rhyme line stanza, to come back out of it without tripping is a very it's not easy to do. So you got to some like the inner line rhyme. Sometimes you just got to end with it if you switch it, but it's how you read it too.
Right, and it is all how you read it, and that's why when somebody else reads your poetry, they might not get out of it what you meant it to be, because they're not getting the inflections that you put in there for your voice, you know.
Yeah, I try to make it that they don't have to worry about the rhyming. It'll just happen.
Right.
And you do the same thing. Linda. Your rights are automatic. You don't have to worry about the rhyming.
Right.
The cadence is right. So if you just end up talking, the rhyme will be there. The cadence will be there also, and I think
that's a good point.
We get in trouble. People with accents that rhyme
words that I wouldn't.
Right.
The people from the United Kingdom, they
yeah.
You'd be surprised
yeah,
how many
exactly.
I was called a near rhymer by somebody from England.
Right.
I didn't know what they
yeah,
meant
I read,
at first. Yeah.
Well, in that poem that Titus wrote today, there was a little poem before, a little write-up before it that was in Old English. And, yeah, there was a lot of that in there, near rhymes. But they fit so well.
Yeah, Titus classes the place up, man.
Yeah.
Gerald Green, you know.
Yeah. Another good one.
Everybody's got so good. I've been doing this for 9 years now. 10 years. God, 10 years.
And, wow.
The people that joined about the same time I have been writing basically constantly, weekly, daily. Whatever. I mean, you can't not be get better or get good. Some people, some of these guys you've been writing with for years, are just phenomenal writers. I think collabing
yeah.
with them now would be just a joy. But then,
right,
there's
right.
me, the hardest one to collab with.
Yeah.
I wanted so bad to write and collaborate with Boston.
I remember her.
Yeah, Boston. And she'd read my poetry. I'd pimp my poetry out to her because she read so well.
Yeah, she's a great poet. I remember commenting on some of her stuff. I was very impressed.
Yeah, I miss her. Mm-hmm. I miss her.
What happened to her? She just
went to priorities in life. She's still on the site. Other groups, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
She's a business owner.
Oh, busy lady. Yeah.
She's a crackup. Get her laughing. Mm.
Well, I had to cut way back on my poetry, my time on all poetry.
Yeah, priorities. Yeah, this is nothing but a side gig.
Plus, you know, it takes time away from my husband, and I have 2 shows a month, and then I write for Deb's show. Or I'll do a street piece show occasionally instead of Deb's show. But I'm only doing 1 show a month. I mean, a week. I can do 1 show a week.
Do you carry a
besides my
you carry a pad of paper with you? Do you carry a pad of paper and pen with you? Or a tape recorder?
I have a app in my phone where I can write. It's app notes. So I can write down notes. Yeah, always. Because when we go to the grocery store and I sit and wait in the car, I get out my app notes and write. I write lists of words that are cool. I like doing that.
Sure.
And then when
you get the writer's block, when the writer's block coming, you're getting frustrated. Those are the good notes to go back to.
Yes,
just the
they
hook
are.
Lines. There's just some hook lines and words and rhyming words. Yeah, ideas.
Yeah.
Well, how many more we got?
Well, we have to have Carmine comment. We haven't finished commenting yet on Angel's lovely piece. Carmine, what did you think? I know me and Hatter...
I have collaborated with many people. I've written multi-songs. I've written many musicals. And it's true. There has to be a marriage of minds when you collaborate with someone. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And you could tell. I've been writing with a gentleman now for well over 20 years. We've written some musicals and songs that are actually, you know, very impressive. But getting back to the poem, A Dream Came True, see, Heavenly Angel and Easy Rider have the magic. They do. As you can tell by the way they have expressed their emotions and their sentiments in their work. It's really the magic of love that they both express. I feel that the last two lines, as you said, the other ones are actually gorgeous. They're beautiful, expressive. But the last two lines, to me, says it all. The happiest times, darling, that I ever knew, all of them had started and ended, babe, with you. You can put some really fine, nice music to that. And as far as the collaboration is concerned, I would give them a 10 because... to me, they have the magic, and it shows itself in the writing. It shows itself in the flow, shows itself in the expressions of the emotions and the feelings that they have for each other. So there's your magic. It doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
It doesn't come easy. So.
And you are one that knows. Yeah. Oh, Wayne. Did we lose Wayne?
Hey, Carmine.
Oh, Wayne dropped.
Yes.
Can you name some of the guys you played with?
Can you name some of the guys you play with?
Yeah.
Well, I played with the Four Seasons.
Wow.
I played with Xavier Gugat, who happened to be one of the major stars of music, Latin music. I played at in New York, many places. I played with... not played with, but I was the opening band for Gene Cooper at the Bird's Nest in New York, and it was very exciting. We had a trio. We were playing jazz. I played with a really very famous piano player, Rio Clemente. We played Theater on the Green. I played for many musicals, not in New York, but in some other very, towns. I played with the Symphony Orchestra. I played with the Columbia Symphony Orchestra.
Were you considered a studio artist?
And golly, I mean, you know, like I said, I've been there. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, were you considered a studio artist?
But I stated humbly, though, Linda, you know, I don't want any, big praise and all that stuff. It was just an honor, and it was a blessing, that's all. But it's humbly said and humbly expressed, not to, blow my horn.
So I don't want you to do that.
Even I was raised in a recording studio, and we had people like Chick Corea, great piano player, a magnificent piano player. Brian Wilson would come in. We started, what's his name? Axl Rose. He was just a washed-up heroin addict in a garage next door when he came and asked us if he could have studio time, and we let him play, and his band came in, and he became, Guns N' Roses. And before that was things like Joni Mitchell, old-time women, folk singers type. I wasn't there at that time, but a lot of people came. Chaka Khan, a lot of people came through there that, you know, I did lighting and sound for the studio. And it was a great education, you know, and I got to meet a lot of really cool people.
If I say two words, tell me if it means anything to you, or three words, the Wrecking Crew.
Oh, yeah.
Did Carmine, do you know who they were?
Yeah.
Carmine?
No.
They moved from New York. They moved from New York to the Wrecking Crew, the studio artists. We're gonna have to have another show. So we have to have another show.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating story.
I do know the Four Seasons, though. I played with them. In fact, we actually even took over their music company, Tommy, Nikki, one of them. They were pretty cool, as you might say. Yeah.
The Deco or Tedesco? Interesting. Yeah, we'll have to do a show on the Wrecking Crew. It's a one in a lifetime story. It's just a great. Tommy Tedesco. That's what the guy's name was. Tommy Tedesco, the guitarist.
Cool. Yeah. Well, let's move on here. We have one from Pee Wee called Never a Good Time. And do you want to read it, Hatter, or you want me to read it, or Carmine? It's a tongue twister.
You guys, let me run over there. Oh.
Okay.
It's Pee-wee.
You got it, Carmine?
Yes, I do.
Am I reading it?
You want to read it?
Yeah, I can give it a shot.
Okay.
They never a good time. Armatures of off clocks wind armored cloak devastation. Tall hail whales of balsa wood burn conflagration. Hands face the watch fading clocks. Hands doom. Throne room skeleton sealed sarcophagus tomb. Hands are failing holding. Hands are failing, holding clocks to never be slipping off into the cortex of time's raging sea. Doesn't gray matter whether you sink or stand. Stroll through the shifting hourglass sands. Armor of mine clinging to your magnetic satellites. Cloak defense against these temporal tides. Marauders of games and steel in the hands. Shield from historic seas in the lonely lands. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow's captivates, waiting for misery that might commiserate. Smooth curves and lines in the continuous arc, mysteries of the world given to our smarts. Infinitely infinitesimal knobs and smallest decimal. Fourth dimensions unravel fourth dimension unravel, then I will revel, raging rivers of dreams, tides, ill commandeer, never a good time to wait for another year. Almost got away with it.
Wow. Yeah, you did a good job. This was a hard one. First, this was an awesome composition, and I loved Eric Svensson's reference to Dolly's A Persistence of Memory. One of my favorite Dolly pieces, of course. And yes, I get the same feelings, although the disintegration of the persistence of memory gives me more of a twinge. Here, the subliminal unconsciousness mind is present in what we do in our daily lives and has more power over us than man-made objects of the conscious world. Your rhyming is well conceived and his surrealistic imagery is fantastic. Thank you, Pee-wee, for this unusual piece of art. I love Pee-wee's mind. He gets into the atoms of things and the makeup of life itself, and I just love his way of expressing his art.
What part reminded you about the Salvador Dali?
The persistence clock, of memory clock. Is the clocks, the melting clocks. I'm a big Dali fan. And
sure.
I had to leave my Dali books in L.A., but my daughters every year for my birthday buy me something Dali, whether it's books or pictures. I used to have an extensive display of Dali art. I had the elephants that turn into swans, that one. Are you hip? It's elephants, but
yeah.
If you look at it upside down, it's swans. It's really fantastic. And there's another one I had that... Dali? I don't think so. I think he was just a painter. I won't swear to that, but I've never heard of any... And I'm telling you, if there was Dali poetry out there, my daughters would have found it for me. So I'm going to say no, but there's always a chance. I had another one that was these real tall elephants that had real spindly legs, and they had these, what were those guys? Tilla the Hun type rooms on top of the elephants, like tent rooms on top of the elephants. It was a great piece. But, yeah, I just love Dali, and I love the reference that this guy made to it. It made me kind of look at this piece a little different, reading through some of the comments. But, yeah. Are you hip to Dali's art, Hatter?
Not a lot of it. I do recognize. I'm looking at it now. I recognize some of it. There's some of it I didn't know was his. Okay. I'm looking for a certain one.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
His self-portrait. He knew how to paint. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a little piece of.
Wasn't he a sculptor too?
Yes, and he did wonderful sculpts. But in his art, in most of his paintings, there is a subliminal part of the human body. He made penises and vaginas a part of his paintings. And you really have to look for it in some of them. You really wouldn't know. Other ones, they're kind of blatant.
He puts what?
No, what?
He put something in every picture, you see?
Penises and vaginas in most of his paintings. Genitalia.
Oh, okay.
You got to look for
right.
it. But pretty much in most of his paintings, you can find genitalia, either men or women or both.
I got to go back and start over.
Yeah,
excellent. Well, didn't he do the egg? Didn't he do a sculpture of an egg sitting down or something?
Something like that.
Wasn't that Dali? Yeah.
Yeah, he did some wild stuff. You know, it's not easy to paint like that. It looks not amateurish, but it looks cartoonish. But that's not easy to do.
That's why it's called surrealistic.
Surrealist? Realist? Oh, look at that.
Surrealistic.
Salvador Dali did this. What's the Mozart one with the blue sky storm or the screen? Is that the screen? Excuse me.
Oh, I'm not sure.
You know, I heard a fact a while ago. There was Picasso, when he was in, I guess, Cuba. He had a handyman. The family had a handyman that did tinkered around and did all the garden work and the repairs or whatever. And he was paid a box of small 5x7 or 7x9 pictures that Picasso had drawn or painted. But they're a little, you know, idea type things, like a sketchbook to most artists. Years later, he shows up with this box I don't know if he didn't know they would be worth anything. And the Picasso family screamed foul, and they confiscated the art and said that he had stolen it, and he never got it back.
Oh, wow.
This old guy. I know. It's just sort of a weird story. He wasn't looking to profit much, but he just wanted to know what it was worth. And once they heard there was a full whole box of all these Picasso paintings, that would devalue everything, I guess. What a fine.
Yeah.
He'd have been better just keeping it into himself. And that's how he got paid.
Yeah.
They didn't have any money to pay him. I'd love to find that. Jesus.
Wow. Let's see. Did we get everybody here?
The egg. There's the eggs. Okay. What are we doing?
Oh, that was Pee-wee's. I didn't write that down. Carmine, did you comment on that? I don't think you did.
I don't know. I didn't know what you were talking about as far as the paintings are concerned, my dear. But you know that the one had never a good time. It had really, to me, it had some wonderful imagery in there with some powerful lines. I liked his ending very much because. He said it was very strong. He says it's never a good time to wait for another year. Like he's talking about yesterday. He says yesterday's gone and tomorrow capitulates, waiting for misery that might commiserate. Well, it's just like the unforeseen things that happen in life unexpectedly. And so you never know. One day it's one way, and the next day it's altogether different. The scene is different. The drama is different. And sometimes the curtain closes. So as far as his title is concerned, I like this title, too. It's a very strong title. And he really did an excellent job. Well done. No, Pee-wee's got a clever mind, that old Pee-wee. Yeah.
Yes, he does. Let me see what's got a message, but let's see who's next. Oh, Hatter, you got a piece?
I can get one.
Well, go grab one.
Okay. Hold on.
I was looking up a joke. There.
I was going to say I never joke, but I always joke.
Yeah, you gotta try to smile. You know.
That's right.
It seems like I've lived forever trying to make everybody else laugh, when inside I don't chuckle much.
No, you gotta.
I know. I wish I did more. Oh, I forgot what I was doing. Okay. You know, I have one that I haven't posted yet. It's in my drafts. Maybe I can try it out with you guys.
Okay.
Okay. Here it goes. I took the path
so
laid in front of me.
It's not
going
to be on the board or anything? Wait.
No,
it's not going
to
be on the board?
It. Oh, yeah. Okay, I could do that. I think it's done. Let me check. Yeah, I think I was just waiting for a picture. Yeah. Okay. Submit. Okay.
There we go. We'll use our imaginations for the picture.
Okay. There. Coming down the hall. Come on, don't stop now. And I'm here at the door.
At the door.
There it is.
Come on in, Hatter. There we go.
It'll have a new title. I don't know what, but that's just the first line. You got it?
Okay. Got it. You got it, Carmine?
What's the title, my dear?
I took the path laid in front of me.
I had her.
I don't see it, my dear. I don't see it on my list here. I see Ebony Moon, but I don't see that.
No,
one.
Not yet.
Do you need to just refresh?
I'll pick it up, though, okay? Time is running out, so you can read it. I'll see it on my phone.
All right, well, what I'm looking for is what the title should be, I've changed the title to. So if you see a line or something that would fit that, or if you hear a line, it goes like this. I took the path laid in front of me, a road that only I could see. The things I've heard from the broken word, how could this be free? What I've learned is a great concern. I've become the brokenhearted, questioning things that always bring me back to where I started. The reasons why I know it's I took the road too far. I did not find the trespass signs that tells me who you are. The things you said still in my head came knocking at my door. The things you lied about some guy, I will not take it anymore. Is it true? I know it's you that makes that ugly sound. I try to be what's left of me. And that's where it's as far as I got. That makes that ugly sound.
It's good.
That's what's left to be.
I think the ending needs a little rearranging.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It does. So should have a different ending line? If it's true. Okay, I'm going to have to put a line there. What should the last line be, Linda? If it's true, I know it's you.
The last line.
If it's true, I know it's you that makes that ugly sound. I'll try to be what's left of me.
Let's see.
try to be what's left of me.
If it's true, I know it's you that makes that ugly sound. I'll try to be what's left of me and go...
Buried underground. still around. I don't know. I'm about to change the rhyme line.
Yeah, I'd have to think about that for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think it's a great poem. I mean, you got some awesome lines in here. The things I've heard from the broken word, how could this be free? Oh, I took the path laid in front of me, a road that only I could see. The things I've heard from broken word, how could this be free? What I've learned is of great concern. I've become the brokenhearted, questioning things that always brings me back to where I started. That's an excellent line right there, that verse. The reason why I know it's I that took the road too far. I did not find the trespass sign that tells me who you are. That's another good verse.
Okay, refresh. I changed that. I finished. I got a little something on the finish then. If it's true, I know it's you that put me underground. Try to be what's left of me that makes that ugly sound. Okay, it needs more work.
Okay, just a little,
yeah,
though. Not much.
I should have read it first.
But it's cool. Yeah, way cool. What did you think, Carmen?
Probably hard to follow without seeing it. Hmm. You lose him?
I did. I saw it. It's, to me, it's it's a poem where love went wrong and you're trying to find the answers. And as far as going back to the individual, she proved to be in time what wasn't what you expected. You know, how much she wanted, you didn't want, you know, she wanted more than you were willing to give. And that's, you know, it's a good expression of, sometimes not getting involved with something that is not going to work. And so, I mean, you have the last line to work on it, but the possibilities are very good there because, as Linda mentioned, some of the lines are very strong. So I would work on it, and I'm quite sure you'd have a powerful work there. Keep at it, man. Keep writing. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. Yeah, when I started it, the first verses, I had a whole different idea of how it ended up. It's one of those that twists on you while you're writing it.
Right. So are we done when it counts down, or is it still recording?
Yeah. We're recording. Why don't you say your goodbyes? You got less than a minute. Just say your goodbyes real quick. We can stay on.
Yeah, I'd like to say thank you to Titus, Phil, Frank, Mine, Guthrie, Pee-wee, and Wayne for their SoundClouds. Jenny, Lawrence, we didn't do those. Heavenly Angel, Hatter, Carmine, Deb, Frank, Wayne, Phil, Titus, Angel, and Pee-wee. I want to thank you all for showing up tonight or sending in a piece. You are what makes my show happen. So please come back again.
You got it all.
And right on. So next is, I'll do mine. I'm just doing the same one from last month, from last week, I mean. Because I didn't get time to change it.
Did I hit? Oh, that's right.
It's called Ebony.
I should have. Got it.
Go ahead.
I was just saying I think I read one last week of mine. I should have just kept it for the same show. You know?
Yeah, yours last week was phenomenal.
I can't remember what it was.
Okay. Ebony Moon by Liquid Damage.
Okay.
Heavy sigh. I run from the moon with black birds at my heels. Oh my God, is this how reality feels? This road is my dungeon, nothing compares. I'm laying on stones with my soul in despair. I never wake up, sleep rules my life. A sleeping existence is a terrible strife. When will I ever be free of these chains that inhibit my life and keep me in pain? My heart's in a whimsy, no warmth does it taste. My life seems to be an arduous waste. Please, oh please, won't you let me awake, if only for my dreams to forsake? My voice cries out for someone to hear, running from dreams in horrible fear. The blackbirds engulf me in ebony dust, while a cloud of vermilion surrounds me in lust. Anxiety fills my heart with a hate. Why was I born to live with this fate? I just want to live like you do, so I can fill my desires for you. I barely escape the torture of time, as it drips down my throat like a sip of red wine. Will I awaken to be there for you, or will my sleep be my only virtue? And that's a big question. This is a tribute to all who have narcoleptic syndromes.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
To bring the awareness of the disease that it is crippling. A lot of folks think that, you fall asleep for a few seconds and then you wake up. Well, that might be a light case, but in cases like mine, where I sleep almost all the time, unless I'm on medication. Like this week, I've slept the first 3 days of the week, waking up in sporadic times to use the restroom or eat something, and then I fall back to sleep. And it's a hard way to live life. It really is. I hope people hear this poem and understand that narcolepsy and narcoleptic syndromes are nothing to laugh at.
Yeah, people tend to not understand the severity or the how much something like that can change your voice. I mean, change your life and the way you live. It's just
incredible.
Amanda,
in between trying to
That's a poem of compassion. It's a poem of endearment. That's a poem of courage. It's a poem of, enlightenment to others in respect to your courage that you have to endure daily. You are blessed because of it, my dear. And what you had expressed is heart-wrenching. And so we pray for you as well as we pray for all those who have ailments like that. And you are encouraging. You are a light to us because seeing what you are doing and how you are making people happy with your programs and your comments is magnificent. So you deserve such credit. Very commendable, very honorable, and it's a joy and a privilege for me especially to be a part of your life and of your program. So I say good night, my dear, may you be enriched and full of light, and may you have the peace that only your Heavenly Father can give. Good night, my dear. You've done a great job. Good night, friend.
Good night, Carmine. And thank you for hanging out. Hatter, thanks for hanging out till the end. Good night, guys.
Not a problem.
We will.
Good night, guys.